Now, isn't it always easy to ask for what you need? Well, it certainly isn't. And rather than admit that you're struggling, whether that's at work or in your friendships or relationships, many of us would rather soldier on, give the impression that we're fine and that we can cope with anything. We all need different things at different points in our lives. But how do we seek that support? Well, Lorna Butler is a life and career coach based in Clonmel, and she joins me now. Lorna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
When Emma put this to you and asked you to talk to us about it, you weren't surprised about this in any way. So I'm guessing you come across this quite a bit, do you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's more common than people realise. And I think that as an individual, sometimes you think you're the only person who might be stressed or overwhelmed or anxious and afraid to ask for the help that you need because of the social risk that that carries and the vulnerability that that carries. And I suppose there's also the illusion of transparency, where if you feel like that, you assume other people can see it and they can recognise what you're thinking and feeling and what you need. And you're almost waiting for other people to offer you help, which isn't the case. And so when you're sitting in that space and you're asking for help, it really is about vulnerability. And vulnerability is really hard. It's probably the first thing we look for in other people, but the last thing that we want to experience in ourselves, because it absolutely takes you outside of your comfort zone. It asks you to loosen control, engage in risk-taking, let go of the perception that we all have of having it all together, any shame associated with that, any judgment associated with that. And also, like, especially in the workplace, we don't want to be perceived as incompetent. So there's a huge amount happening in our, I suppose, thinking patterns that stop us from leaning into that, because it can be a scary place, you know?
And somebody who is self-sufficient, particularly in the workplace, is much admired. Oh, they go off there on their own and they do it all themselves and they come back with a result. They're admired. So does that mean that we aspire to that in some way as well?
Yes, it's that mask we wear, isn't it? It's like, okay, this person is perceived as having it all together and doing everything and, you know, nothing seems to be ever challenging them. But that's just the front. It's not exactly a true representation of what's happening for that person internally and in their thinking patterns and how they're feeling in what they're needing. Because, as I said, it carries that social risk and that perception of, God, I don't want to feel like I'm incompetent, so I'm going to pretend I have it all together.
Yes.
And whatever that takes. And it can take a very significant toll on someone's mental health and someone's ability to maybe show up and do different things outside of work, because they're so consumed with how they're presenting in work and that perception of themselves, you know.
How can you get around this, Lorna? I mean, how should you approach this in some way?
I think it's about recognising that being vulnerable requires strength and courage, and there's huge benefits in asking for help. You know, there's a sense of maturity about knowing what you're capable of and knowing when it's time to kind of bring someone in. There's also a huge sense of connection with somebody else and demonstrating, you know, having that empathy demonstrated towards you. Are you demonstrating empathy for other people? And so you kind of learning to lean into that vulnerability and learning to be okay with that is really where kind of the work and processing is, you know.
If you were a boss, would you prefer to see somebody getting access to the team and benefiting from the team and the others around them rather than the solo run merchants?
Yes, now you do have different levels and different contributors within organisations. Some are more individual and some are more team orientated. But everybody should feel like they have the ability to ask for help when it's needed, especially when you're engaging in a new task or you're engaging with something that you've never, you know, done before. Maybe you're a new leader to a team, and, you know, to be able to lean into and ask for help ensures your success. And as I said, it's sometimes so seen as a weakness, but actually it really demonstrates courage and strength and that resilience to really understand what's happening for yourself and move forward with it, you know.
Let's take it out of the workplace and take it into relationships and into to the home. What about that? Because again, you know, the male sometimes like to be seen as the strong, silent type and goes about their business and stuff, when inside, like, there's turmoil and chaos going on.
Absolutely.
What about that?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, there's loads of different types of relationships that we have day in, day out, be it with our partner or friends. And it is about recognizing that if you're struggling, it is really important to communicate that in a way that works for you, but also to allow a person into a space where they can actually connect with you and help you. Because it, as I said, it takes that vulnerability. And when you're with your closest friends, sometimes we can remove those masks, or when you're with your partner who knows you inside out, we can remove those. But, you know, asking outside kind of family members or extended family members from help sometimes can lead us into, God, will they think I'm good enough? Do I not have it all together? And so leaning into that and saying to yourself, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not have it all together. It's okay. And normalize it, because we do not normalize this in our society because of the social risk it carries. And I think it's about really sitting into it and going, you know, everybody experiences this. It's so common. I see it all the time, even within myself. You know, you experience that, and the want to ask for help, but actually how to lean into that fear that grips you.
What about, though, if somebody is dependent on you and they see you as the strong type, the doer, the person who gets things done and sorts everything out, and they depend on that. Is that an issue as well, that you're seen as being the one?
Yeah, because that carries with it more risk and more vulnerability, because if you're seen as the person who has it all together and the person who is the, you know, the provider or whatever, and suddenly you're in a space where, you know, you're struggling and you need that help, it can, that perception of you having it all together and that judgment of you not having it all together can have repercussions. And so for yourself and how you're thinking about yourself. So it's important to recognize, again, that it's normal, but also to manage and deal with some of the, I suppose, the thoughts that are coming up as a result of that, and being curious with them, but also not stepping in and hooking into them, and just allowing yourself into a space where you're connecting with somebody else. And even though, as difficult as it may be, because you're perceived as being the dependent, that ultimately it'll strengthen and secure that bond you have with that person.
Is there something to be said on gender where this is concerned? I mean, are men more likely to be this kind of person, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think it's kind of mixed. I think there's a perception in society that men are that strong, you know, don't cry and, you know, hold back emotions type. But within the coaching realm, you see it, because people come to coaching, and coaching is all about being vulnerable. And so you're in a space where you're held safe, and it's a non-judgmental space. You're allowed to kind of express what's happening for you. But definitely there is that societal expectation that men are like together and we don't cry and we don't experience emotion. And I think we're kind of, as a society, moving slightly away from that now. With the, I suppose, coaching realm, it's kind of blown up in the last couple of years. So people are aware now that there is this path there to help you to manage how you're feeling, because how you present to people is very different to what's happening.
Of course it is. You know? So a piece of advice to somebody out there that might be taking the whole world upon their own shoulders and feeling that they need to do this, what do you say to them?
Absolutely, it'll feel vulnerable, but that's okay. And it's normalizing that. And I suppose when you're looking for help or you're looking to ask for what you need, there's no need to over-explain it. You know, be clear and concise and give the person the information that they need in order to help you. And it's okay to negotiate with that person. You know, maybe they can't give you all the help that you require, but they can provide some of it. So allow that to be kind of an open conversation. And I suppose don't apologize for asking for help, because it can sometimes almost bring that negativity that you're doing something wrong. And I suppose it's moving away from asking for help is not wrong. It's actually a sign of strength and courage. And so not apologizing is really important. And I suppose making it personal, so not transactional. So don't be emailing somebody going, I need your help. You know, walk over to the desk or make that phone call, yes, or, you know, have that chat with that one person that might lean into helping you a little bit. And then be willing to express gratitude for the piece of help that you received, you know. So they're kind of a couple of tips I would suggest to people, especially with vulnerability. You know, as I said at the beginning, it's the first thing we look for in other people and the last thing we want to experience in ourselves. So it's okay to feel like that, but don't let it get in your way.
Yes. Of course, if somebody comes to you looking for help, particularly in a workplace, it's a great compliment as well to somebody, you know, to say, I need your help. You're the person who can help me with this.
Because if you recognise the amount of strength and courage it took that person to come and chat to you in the first place because of the social risk it carries, I think then that, yeah, absolutely, you know, you can connect much more with that person. They can demonstrate empathy for you. They can almost be like, oh God, yeah, I felt like that too, Fran. You know what I mean? So it's, and it works both ways. If you ask somebody for help, maybe they might feel more comfortable in asking you for help. So there's a knock-on positive effect.
And it builds up a camaraderie, I suppose, as well. As a life and career coach, Lorna, what are you seeing post-COVID? I mean, have things changed as much as I think they've changed? I mean, have they, you know, in terms of people looking at careers differently, maybe looking at life differently as well?
Definitely looking at life differently, getting a lot of, I've had a good bit of time to kind of re-examine where I'm at with my career, re-examine where I'm at with my life, and I want to try and do something different. There's elements as well of that social connection piece. We missed out on it for such a long period of time, and it's, how do I engage with social connection again? You know, especially being an introvert, sometimes introverts were like, you know, I was good, I read my books, I got loads done, whereas the extrovert had, you know, difficulties and challenges with not being able to interact. So it's very mixed, I would say, but it's definitely, COVID has definitely brought a different element into the coaching space and allowing people to understand what's actually happening for them, because we constantly try to keep ourselves so busy, and that suddenly it all stopped and we were like, okay, what do I do now? And having that time to reflect on what's actually happening for you and to listen to what's going on for you both inside in your head and internally gave people kind of almost a new outlook.
Yes.
You know, and something to explore.
Which is great as well. And some people found it very hard as well, Lorna, to get back on the merry-go-round again, you know.
Yeah, and I think people are still struggling with that. You know, we see a lot. The one benefit of COVID is that it introduced a lot of flexibility into the workplaces and it allowed people who went, you know, working 5 days a week and then went into COVID and having family time, really wanting more of that family time and that downtime, and reprioritizing what was important to them. And so you can see that it has introduced that flexibility. So people are, you know, almost moving away from that 5 day working week and trying to find more of a work life balance. I think that's what COVID gave us. It gave us nothing. It gave us all and nothing at the same time. And I think people are reevaluating based on that all the time. Yeah,
it's interesting. Even though I feel very sorry for the people who, you know, find the idea of working from home extremely difficult, because we always hear about the positives of it. But of course, some people didn't like it at all.
No, absolutely not. Especially as an extrovert, you're craving that social connection. You're craving that coffee doc experience, like what happened at the weekend, that just that general chit-chat conversation, because that's where you get your energy from.
And it compartmentalizes work as well. That's what I go out to do and then I come home to home.
It's like the office is upstairs and you walk down the stairs and suddenly you're in the kitchen. And it is, you know what I mean? But it's been interesting.
We're reevaluating, exactly, as they say. If people want to make contact with you, Lorna, how can they do that?
Yep, through several channels. So social media, on Instagram at PDC Coaching or on Facebook at PDC Coaching. Website is pdccoaching.com. And if you just Google Lorna Butler, I'll shoot up
and
as a coach.
And who should make contact with you?
Everybody. That's me being very biased, but I believe everybody should have a coach, because no matter what you're going through, there's always someone there to help. And coaching is that space where it looks at what's happening for you and looks to move you forward. So, a little bit biased on that one, Fran.
Yeah, and why not, indeed. Lorna, good to see you today.
Thanks
very much indeed. News and information's coming up.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free visit.